You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance, joined today by my friend, Liz Pitts, with the Pride Center.
Hey, Jason.
Liz Pitt.
Right? With an S. With an S.
I said it right. Okay, yeah, Liz Pitts. Good. Okay. Liz, thanks for joining us. You are very busy today getting all set up for Pride. It's looking pretty exciting out there. Obviously, Pride is held here on Washington Square, adjacent to our recording studio at KCPW. Maybe you can tell people a little bit about what's going to happen at the Pride Festival this year. You're the director of events for the Pride Center.
I am, yeah. Yes. Yeah, if you don't mind, I'll do a quick recap of the whole week.
That's perfect.
It's so much more than just the festival. Let me start with mentioning that we are having a gala fundraising dinner, the Pride Spectacular, on Wednesday night at the Marriott City Creek. There are still tickets available for that.
Is this the first time you've done this event?
This is the second time we've done this dinner. It used to be in past years a grand marshal reception,
okay.
And we've decided to focus more on local heroes. We'll be giving out our community awards to five different award recipients at that dinner.
Great, okay.
So that's going to be fun. On Thursday, as we've done for many years, there will be an interfaith service at the United Methodist Church downtown here on 2nd South. And for the first time, there will also be a youth pride dance.
Wow.
And this is going to be fun. It's for 14 to 20-year-olds only. And just going to be wild. It's
so
going to be here on grounds.
So because this is actually airing on Thursday, that's happening today. What time are those if people still want to go to those?
The interfaith service starts at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock tonight, okay.
And so does the youth pride dance.
And where's the pride dance located?
The pride dance is here on Library Square. The entrance is on 3rd East between 4th and 5th South.
What made you decide to do the pride dance? That's kind of a cool idea.
You know, it wasn't my idea. It was the idea of our youth programs coordinator, Jimmy Lee, over at the Pride Center.
So you can't take credit for it, but what was the rationale behind it?
Well, we do quite a few events, and we provide quite a few services and have programs for youth.
Mm-hmm.
We do focus quite a bit on youth. We focus on family services, mental health services, and all types of things at the Pride Center. So this was just a natural extension. Also, one of the most exciting and fun events we do throughout the year is Queer Prom,
mm-hmm.
and this is also an extension of that. We had over 1,000 people attend. About 800 of them were youth attending Queer Prom back in April.
So
this will be another kind of high school dance.
High school dance. Clearly kind of a need for that. I mean, I think that's a time, you know, when kids are understanding their own sort of sexual identity, thinking about coming out, that's probably a time when people need a lot of support in their life. If they're older, maybe they've already made some decisions. But as a youth, that's a time when somebody might need that extra bit of support to say, you're okay, however you are, you're a good person, you're acceptable however you are.
Yeah, I think that's a really big part of what we do over at the center is provide that space where people can be who they are.
Yeah.
And not only accepted, but actually celebrated.
Celebrated and embraced.
Yeah.
Okay, so Pride Dance tonight, Interfaith Service tonight.
Yes.
And then the festival begins, right?
Yeah, the festival begins on Friday, runs Friday through Sunday. Friday gates open at 5 o'clock. This is new, first time this year, full open. All the booth vendors, all the food vendors, all the drinks will be here. We'll have entertainment both on our main stage and our DJ dance stage, and opening ceremonies at 8 o'clock. One other thing to mention on Friday night is the political activist arm of the whole event, and that's the march and rally.
Okay.
It's also Friday, starting together at 9th and 9th, or 9th and Harvey Milk, if you will, and starting together at 5 o'clock, rally at 6, and march step off at 6:45. The march starts there and will end at festival grounds. Anyone who marches with Pride, this is the Pride in Solidarity March, will get into the festival that night for free.
Cool.
And we call it Pride in Solidarity because this is much more than just LGBTQ rights that we are fighting for this year. We are working in conjunction with a number of community organizations, refugee and immigrant rights, reproductive rights, fair pay, anti-racism, all kinds of people who are very, I'm trying to think of the word, who care quite a bit about these types of things and realize that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
So It's going to be an exciting event, free and open to the public, of course.
And is this the first time you've done this? Isn't the first time you've done this Solidarity March, right? Or is it the first time you've called it that?
This is the first time we've expanded and really thought beyond just LGBTQ community.
Lots of different groups who are feeling, you know, maybe a need to speak out more than they have in the past, a need to be a little bit more vocal and talk about what's happening in their community. That's a great idea to expand that and to make it larger than just LGBTQ issues. I think that's a really, really cool idea.
Yeah, I'm very excited
about
that
cool.
event. So I think it's going to be fun.
Friday night, March, and then the festival goes all day Saturday. I know you've got lots of stuff planned.
Yep. And one other thing happening on Saturday, as well as the festival, is we've taken our 5K race that we've done for many years. We've put it on Saturday morning, and we've made it more of a full-day event. It's actually a half-day event, 5K Outdoors and Proud Health Day, and that's in Jordan Park.
Oh, cool.
Starting at 8 a.m.
So really expanding the whole way down the valley.
Yeah.
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 Very
getting
cool.
a little outside of the immediate downtown area.
Yeah.
Trying to really, make this more of a community event at that level. That's going from 8 till about noon, and it's also free and open to the public. If you want to race in the 5K, you can actually sign up on site now. Our online registration is closed. It's a timed event for the first time, so it's an officially timed 5K. So people who run and want to qualify can do that. There will also be kids activities, kids health related activities, and yoga in the Peace Gardens.
Very cool.
Now back to festival again.
That's great. Back to festival. So the festival, it continues to grow year after year. I mean, I think it's obviously a big fundraiser for the Pride Center generally, but maybe you can tell people what they might expect with the festival, like what's going to be happening, music, entertainment, lots of different booths, food, drink. If somebody hasn't gone before, what might they expect when they go to the Pride Festival on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week?
Yeah, so we will have stages, four different stages, five really technically, going on, at least three or four going at the same time. Main stage with some headliners, we have the Red Rock stage, which will be for the first time specifically focused on women artists. So that will be the Red Rock stage. There is an event going on in Southern Utah, which is going into its 11th year, called the Women's Red Rock Music Festival. And so in alignment with that event, we've decided to do a little bit of a Red Rock North this year.
Very cool.
DJ dance stage. So there's going to be a lot of
thumpa.
Yeah. A lot of that kind of jumping around. And a karaoke stage, which we all know how much fun karaoke is.
Who doesn't love karaoke?
Right?
Yeah.
And then a spoken word stage where we'll have a comedian, we'll have a poetry slam contest, and all kinds of things like that. I need to mention one other thing, too. In the library, in the downtown city library, we are also doing a speaker and films event. So we're going to have workshops, panels, and speakers, and two films on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday afternoon is the trans list. Sunday afternoon is the out list. And all of those library events are also free and open to the public.
Wow.
So there's that. And then, of course, food and drinks.
I mean, it's a festival. It's a celebration. Yeah. I want to underscore, too, for people that the Pride Festival isn't just for the LGBTQ community. That if you're straight, if you're an ally, if you know somebody who may be a family member, it's a great way to come out and show support, whether you're gay, straight, whatever. It's a celebration really about accepting who we are, celebrating. I should have used a stronger word than accepting. Really celebrating who you are as a distinct individual. Your sexuality is part of that, but it's about all the other elements that make you who you are.
Yeah, and thanks for mentioning that, Jason, because it is. It is for everybody, and it's for people who just like to be outside and have fun at a festival.
Have a good time at a festival.
So it is the celebratory event of the year.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned before, I can't say enough times that this event, so many people don't know, this event does fund the work of the Utah Pride Center.
Right.
We provide mental health services for so many people, the youth services we were talking about earlier. We have support groups, AA groups, church group. One of the more recent support groups that has formed is a survivors of suicide attempts group. And There's a lot we do over at the Pride Center, and we couldn't do it without the money raised at this festival.
Excellent. Well, we're going to continue our conversation. We're talking with Liz Pitts, Events Director for the Pride Center, talking about the festival this weekend. We will be back after these messages.
You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. For podcasts and more local shows and lectures, follow us on iTunes or visit the Local Shows tab at kcpw.org.
We're back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. This is a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. Joined today by my friend, Liz Pitts. Liz is the events director for the Pride Center, and we are coming up on the Pride Festival weekend. We've already started a few Pride events this week, but really, the festival itself kicks off Friday. Liz, we didn't talk about the parade yet, and the parade is a big, important part. For a lot of people, the most visible element of Pride celebrations, not just here in Salt Lake City, but really across the United States. Maybe we can spend just a couple minutes talking about that, although I did want to ask you, can I pay with a credit card if I need to come?
Thank you for bringing that up, Jason. This year for the festival, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it is cash only at the gates. Last year we did try credit cards and it just didn't work well. People had to wait too long in the lines.
That's hard, yeah.
So we're going back to cash only at all the beverage stations and at all the gates.
There are plenty of ATMs around.
ATMs
people can get cash
everywhere.
Out. Yeah, but yep. If you want, plan ahead. And also, can I bring my dog, who is not a service animal, to the Pride Festival?
No, we are implementing a policy this year for the first time, service animals only.
Okay.
This is for the health and safety of everyone, including the animals, of course. It's hot.
Yeah.
It's just not a really great environment for animals. So we've partnered with the Utah Dog Park, and we are encouraging people to get their dogs ready. And if they want to do Pride with their dog, take the dog to the Utah Dog Park.
Cool. Very cool. So a couple just housekeeping notes about the festival itself. Cash only, and please leave your pets at home. Even though
yep.
you're proud of your pets, leave your pets at home. They don't belong at Pride.
Yeah.
Unless they're a service animal. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about the parade. So the farmers market has been in the parade since before I came to the Downtown Alliance. And I have to, if I can share a story with you that was pretty cool. A few years ago, we started off, and people like the farmers market. It's popular with the LGBTQ crowd. And people are clapping politely. And as we went up, I think we went down 2nd East and turned down to go down 2nd South. As we turned the corner, people just went crazy. And I couldn't figure out why. They just love us. They love the farmers market so much. And I didn't realize, because I was looking ahead, that Mormons Building Bridges was behind us. And it was the first year that they did it. And people were so excited to see all these LDS people in their church clothes really building bridges, really talking about acceptance and celebration of LGBTQ members of our community, of members of their family. So even though they weren't, we got, we had a polite applause for, the farmer's
yeah.
market. Who doesn't love the farmer's market? But it was a memorable moment in my life to see the enthusiasm of the crowd embracing Mormons Building Bridges walking in the Pride Parade. And we were so excited to be able to be in front of them. It was very cool.
That was a really amazing point in Utah history,
yeah.
I believe. It was really historically significant and culturally so significant. Many of us come from Mormon families, and Mormon people of all sorts, very good people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so. And just that it, coming together, people wanting to build bridges and work together and collaborate and find common ground, I thought was such a meaningful and important thing. And it was organic. I mean, this was just a group who came together to say, we want to make a statement of celebration of people in our lives who are LGBTQ. So on the note of the parade, let people mm-hmm. know maybe what the parade route is and any tips that you have for people who might want to either participate in the parade or watch the parade.
Yeah. The parade is full as far as entries
you
go.
You can enter now.
If you want to participate in the parade, start thinking about 2018.
Yeah. Or find somebody you know.
You can join a group.
There's so
join
many groups doing
one
it.
One of the groups that's already in the parade. So many nonprofit organizations.
Farmers Market.
Farmers Market again.
Plenty of local companies too. I know Squatters has a huge presence, and every brew pub I think has a big presence.
There's a lot of ways to participate still. If you want to just attend the parade, that's also very wonderful. Whole weekend, and especially Sunday, it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
Just say, be prepared for the heat, be well hydrated, bring sunblock, all of that type of thing. So you'll have fun. The route this year is Second South, starting at West Temple and ending at 4th East.
Okay.
So step off of the parade is at 10 a.m. So if you're wanting to be at the beginning of the parade route, get there early. We estimate about 70,000 people in attendance and participating last year.
How many entrants do you have this year? How many float? They're not all float. Some are. I mean, ours is kind of a historic farm truck for the farmers market.
Yeah.
So not exactly a float. But how many entrants do you have in the parade this year?
152.
Wow. That's huge.
Our limit is 150, so our parade director...
You snuck two extra in?
Well, it's all about the timing of the downtown permits and using the streets and all of these exciting things that most people don't think about and are very bored by.
Yeah.
But our parade director and team will be making the parade clip on along, so it will finish in time.
Yep. Oh, it's a well-run parade. Having participated in other parades, this one, you know, you move along and it's a really well-orchestrated machine. You guys know what you're doing.
Thank you. I will forward that to Bonnie O'Brien.
Please tell Bonnie.
Director.
Yeah, there you go. It's a really well-run, well-oiled machine to be in the Pride Parade. I always get there early. We don't usually leave for 45 minutes or something. So you're sorry, but I always feel a little cheated because we're standing there getting ready, waiting for our turn, and I feel like I missed the other float. So I kind of sneak ahead, dressed in my farmer's market attire, which is a farmer, and go check out some of the other floats that are going by. So, because that's part of the excitement that you get to see people in the parade.
Yeah. Well, next year, see if Bonnie will put you at the very end of the parade.
Oh, good. And then I could run around to
see the whole thing, and then run at the end.
You don't have a marshal this year, a grand marshal this year. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what that decision entails.
Yeah. For years, we would bring in a national celebrity, whether an entertainer or a politician, to start the parade. A few years back, during the marriage equality struggle that was going on in Utah and around the country, we decided to focus on some local icons and heroes. And that year, those icons were the defendants in the local...
The plaintiffs, because it
plaintiffs,
wasn't...
Yeah, excuse
the plaintiffs.
Me.
The defendant was Gary Herbert.
Right,
which,
sorry.
If you came to the parade, he would be welcome.
Everybody's welcome.
Everybody's welcome.
Everybody's
yeah.
welcome.
So this was...
But thank
you. These were the plaintiffs.
So, the plaintiffs in Herbert...
In Kitchen v. Herbert, yeah.
There you go. Okay, you say this part.
I don't know this part.
Anyway, that was the first year we decided to focus on some local heroes and not bring someone in from
nationally,
out of town to lead the parade.
That's great.
So our parade will be led by five local heroes, five award winners, our Pride Award winners this year. And I can list them out, I think, pretty quickly here.
Without notes, I'm impressed.
All right, I'm going to try. Sue Marcourt for Allies Lifetime Achievement Award, Misty Snow for the Breaking Barriers Award, Luis for our local icon, one of our youth who is very active with Youth Pride Center activities and in many other parts of the city. Angela Romero for the Pete Suazo Political Action Award. Okay, and the Kristen Reese Award, Community Service Award, goes to Todd Bennett this year.
Awesome. So five award winners will be through the parade. We'll just add it back in at the end. It's okay.
Yeah.
So five award winners at the parade. And what should people look for if people haven't come before? I mean, there's one thing. May I mention how interesting I think it is that you have people like Dykes on Bikes who are purely defined sort of by their sexuality. And then right behind them will be American Express Corporation.
Yeah.
Behind them will be a leather group. And then behind them will be, you know, Zion's Bank. And it's interesting because you have this, it's become so much more accepted, the LGBTQ movement and people's interest. It used to be, I think, probably 20 years ago, marching in Pride was this huge act of political courage. And it's not that it's not still important to do, it's not that it's not a great celebration, but things have changed so dramatically over the past two decades.
Yeah.
Yeah. Am I overstating that?
No, you're not, Jason. And actually, you're putting that really well. And it is interesting. What I've seen over the years is that, to be completely blunt, the parade got a bit boring when it got too big and too many people or just wearing a corporate t-shirt and walking down the street.
Yeah.
So we've been trying to refocus, and of course, like I said, all people are welcome, and we very much appreciate all of our sponsors.
Yeah.
Many of the corporations in the parade are sponsors of the event, so help fund the event, and then likewise the center. But we've asked people to just be a bit more sexy.
Yeah.
And have a little more fun.
Have a little bit more fun. That's good.
It's supposed to be fun. Yeah. It's a parade.
It's fun. Well, and one thing I do appreciate about it is it, I think, underscores either economic clout of the LGBT community or the fact that people want to recognize their employees or, you know, I love it in a sense that there are these corporate sponsors who say this is an important group for us for whatever reason. We have to be here. We want to be here. We want to show support to this important cause. And I think that's meaningful because it wouldn't have happened 20 years ago. I remember, I was looking back and thinking about at East High School, the Gay Straight Alliance. You and I have talked about this a little bit before, but when the Salt Lake City School District shut down all extracurricular activities so that there wouldn't have to be a Gay Straight Alliance at East High School, and how things have changed so dramatic. Sometimes on a day-to-day basis, it doesn't seem that dramatic. But looking back, just historically over the past couple of decades, the society and our community have changed in really dramatic ways.
It's true. What you're talking about at East High there, that was only about 25 years ago. When I think back, I'm amazed as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Liz, where can people go for more information?
UtahPrideCenter.org.
UtahPrideCenter.org. Good luck with everything. Thanks for taking the time. I know how busy you are.
Hey, thank you, Jason. I need to make one more quick plug. We still need volunteers.
Okay. Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.